really special guest today to talk about an event that I consider to be one of the most important events of the past year. That's the Rage Against the War Machine rally this February 19th at the Lincoln Memorial, the afternoon of Sunday, February 19th, Rage Against the War Machine. I'm going to be speaking there. And you know who else is going to be speaking there? It's a Jackoff nightclub club comedian named Jimmy Dore. Welcome, Jimmy.
Hey, Max. How are you? Good to see you.
I'm good. Good to see you.
I'm looking forward to February 19th. It's good to see all the people who are attacking it, which actually means that we're doing something. So if nobody was upset about this rally, I would be worried that, holy shit, we're not actually bothering people. But it turns out that we are. And so that's why all the bad faith attacks are coming from everywhere, from every angle.
Yeah. You can think of,
you know, no matter who it is, Tulsi, Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, Jack, and me, everybody. It's
Chris
great.
Hedges.
Chris Hedges.
Cynthia McKinney.
Yeah.
Anya Parampil, Dennis Kucinich. Noted right winger Dennis Kucinich.
Noted right winger. The guy was so dangerous they had to gerrymander him out of a district. So that's the guy who actually, you know, maybe a little anti-establishment. Good for Dennis Kucinich. Good for being against the war. There's only one condition that I have for people who want to come be a part of this war anti-war rally, and that is that you want to stop the wars. That's it.
I'm not going to want to be in there with like Sieg Heiling neo-Nazis and like, you know, that Patriot Front group that looks like a bunch of federal assets and they all show up in the same Nazi costume with masks on. Like, yeah, I wouldn't want to be among them, but that's not what's going on. And, you know, a lot of times people can be right about things who I don't agree with about other things. But this is the most important cause of our time. This is about civilizational survival. February 19th, Washington, D.C. If you're serious about ending this war, if you're serious about stopping nuclear war, if you're serious about disarmament, if you're serious about de-escalation, if you're serious about peace, if you're serious about stopping imperial encroachment, if you're serious about challenging NATO, if you're serious about freeing Julian Assange and his freedom are among the list of demands that all speakers and participants have agreed to. If you're serious about ending the secret government with an over $80 billion black budget known as the CIA, which carries out terror attacks, kidnappings, and torture around the world. If you're serious about those things, you will be there. If you're not serious, you'll find ways of sabotaging this.
Well, I think that's what's happening is that, of course, you know, the reason why there is no left movement in America and there's absolutely no anti-war movement in America, it's because left organizations are, as we're finding, just like FBI was infiltrated all the social media organizations, and now the CIA is just right on camera now in corporate media. They don't even try to hide it anymore. So they now they've infected every left organization and they've turned it. What do? They divide and conquer. And that's exactly what's happened.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so that's what they're trying to do now. And the thing is, these people who wanted, like, instead of participating in an anti-war rally, want to talk about, I disagree with the people who are speaking's politics. That's just ridiculous. Right. So that shows that you're a cosplayer when it comes to stopping a nuclear war. That's the equivalent of saying, "You sure, I'd like to stop a nuclear war, but not with those people." I mean, it's comical. Yeah. It's comical. Yeah. That's how ridiculous it is. And it reveals those people to be unserious, insincere people who are cosplaying at anti-war. And so if you want to be a leader, if you're a part of an anti-war organization that doesn't want you to take part in an anti-war rally, you should be a leader and go to that anti-war rally and lead. That's what leaders do. Leaders don't take direction, but leaders give direction. Leaders lead and they lead by example. So I'm going to be there, and I hope they keep attacking it because that shows you that it's powerful. They're calling it everything in the world, right? Yeah. And so that means they don't want this to catch on because you got lefties there, you got libertarians there, you got former Congress people there, and military people there. You got all types of people there, and that's what scares them. That's the only thing that scares them. If they can keep us hating half the country and half the country thinking the other half of the country is their enemy instead of with the exact opposite, which is that we have a common enemy, it's the military-industrial complex that is bankrupting this country. By the way, we're ending the way all empires end. They just put three more military bases in the Philippines recently. I swear to God, they just did that. So that's what this is all about. That's what actually scares them. So that's why they have to attack this actually extra hard, because it's got people from all spectrums of the political spectrum. And so that's why it scares them. Wouldn't you agree, Max? That's what actually scares them. If it was just a bunch of Greenpeace people, or if it was just a bunch of libertarians, or if it was just a bunch of it, wouldn't have much impact. But the fact right. that it fans, that's what gives it its power. People who disagree vehemently about other things. There are people there who want to end Social Security and take Medicare away from people. That's not what this is about. This is about we have to first stop nuclear war, and then, hey, guess what? We can fight about all that other stuff.
That's right. And one of the things that I think threatens some of the people attacking this rally is that they can't be in charge of the entire thing and decide who to exclude. Because they love to exclude people. Yes. They love to come up with a laundry list of boutique social issues that you have to sign on to, every single one, with no, and there's no debate allowed, in order to participate in a rally about something else, which ostensibly is what your organization is supposed to revolve around, which is the war state. This is the professional sectarian left that I've had to deal with for years and years and years, whether it was on Palestine or Syria. And then, you know, on COVID, they excluded everyone their little meeting rooms. If you had any problem with thousands and thousands of workers being fired because they didn't want to take an experimental gene therapy injection that doesn't prevent transmission or infection, they would completely castigate you. And then you wouldn't be allowed to speak at their anti-war rallies because you opposed like lockdowns that sent people into suicidal ideation and opioid addiction and kept children out of school for a year. Because you oppose that, the professional sectarian left would exclude you. And what this rally is not doing is excluding people, including them. They would be welcome to speak and participate, but they don't want to. They want to attack because they've lost control, because the professional sectarian left has failed in every respect to form a viable anti-war movement for the past 20 years. And here we are. They want the anti-war movement to be 100 people all wearing the same shirt with multiple advanced degrees who agree on all the same boutique social issues, who can fit in one room, and they control everyone and everything everyone says. And this rally has broken that model because it's just open. It's what you make of it. It's what anyone wants it to be. And so they are working to sabotage it. And I know from having worked with some of these people in the professional sectarian left that they destroy every institution that they become a part of. They burrow from within, they get in there. And then if you are trying to work for a greater goal within that institution and it doesn't follow their sectarian line, then they start to attack you from within and run campaigns against you. And then ultimately they try to destroy the whole organization unless you get them the hell out of there. And so every institution, every NGO, every media organization that they get in, they're a problem. And now they're becoming a problem within this one. All we're trying to do is stop a nuclear war. And yeah, I deeply disagree with a lot of the other speakers on things like unions or crime and these kinds of issues. I'm going to go out and I'll organize for, teachers unions to fight privatization in the future. This doesn't stop me from that. The libertarians, I barely have any, and we'll talk about them in a second. They're not going to put a chip in my brain that suddenly changes me and transforms me into some kind of crypto Nazi. I can go up there and say whatever I want, as can any left-wing speaker.
Yeah, I had a point and I just forgot it, but
well, sorry, I was ranting. But well, let's address some of the controversies, because my friend Medea Benjamin, who's someone that, you know, I've worked with for years, who's done some of the most important anti-war organizing is not allowed to speak. You're not allowed to speak because there's naughty people on stage. It's like Ned Flanders won't allow his kids to have sugar. Remember Rod and Todd? They're like, we're not allowed, Bart. We're not allowed to have the sugar. So Medea's not allowed by people who, like these professional sectarians who are in her organization. And so she had to issue a statement. And I find this really upsetting, honestly, that someone of Medea's stature with her experience and wisdom has to even do this and say this. And I've been trying to discuss this with her directly. She was just in Cuba. She's been fighting the siege of Cuba for longer than I've been alive, or as long as I've been alive. But Medea Benjamin said, people are asking me why I'm not speaking at the Rage Against the War Machine rally. I supported the rally from the time of its conception, and I support it today, even though I will not be one of the speakers, because the organization I've been a part of for 20 years, Code Pink, urged me not to speak. The Code Pink staff, meaning people who work for her, felt that my participation would hurt the group's standing with other coalitions committed to gay rights, women's rights, and anti-racism. They felt that Jackson Hinkle has taken stands that are anti-gay, anti-trans, anti-feminist, and Islamophobia, I guess they mean Islamophobic, and they were concerned about the sponsorship of the Libertarian Party's Mises Caucus after Ludwig von Mises, the Austrian economist.
This is exactly my joke. I want to stop a nuclear war, but not with those people. I want to smoke it with people who wear pink hats and vote the right way and have all the same sensibilities that I have. That's not how anti-war shit works.
That's why
in the last 20 years, the war machine has fucking exploded while you people did shit like this. It's laughable. You're a joke. That's a joke.
It is a joke. And everyone's laughing at that.
Here's the thing that they don't understand. They don't understand how to fucking do anything. And they don't understand how to organize. And what they could do is take a lesson from Christian Smalls, right? So Christian Smalls organized a union on Staten Island against Amazon, right? And now the way these people would organize a union, where they go, hey, who here agrees with us on LGBTQ? Okay, you can be in our union. You can't. Hey, who here agrees with us on Social Security and Medicare? Okay, you can be on your, who does, you can't. That's not how, who here's a gun nut? You're out. Who here's a libertarian? You're out. Who here's a Proud Boy? You're out. Who here's a, you're, that's not how you organize. And that's what they're pretending how you organize. No, what they're doing is revealing that they're cosplaying as anti-war people. It's a social thing for them. They're not real, because that's not how you organize anything. That's not how you organize a union. That's not how you organize an anti-war rally. You don't start excluding people about other parts of their politics. And I was talking to Jay Buffon from our Revolutionary Blackout Network. He's gay. And he said, you know, the whole point is, if I went to a rally and there was people who didn't agree with me on LGBTQ, and then maybe they meet me and then they realize we have more in common than that separates us, and they get to know me, and maybe what they thought wasn't true about me. And isn't that the way we're supposed to do this? And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly how you're supposed to do it. But these people it's just a social club to them. That's all that is.
Yeah, and it threatens their own identity. When they,
it's a social club. They're not actually about converting people. They're not actually about getting people. They're not about winning people over with their arguments. They're about excluding people in a social club. Yeah, guess what? You're not an activist. You're a fucking social club, and you're revealing it.
Yeah, you have to meet people where they are. Not everyone is going to agree with you out there in the Rust Belt, for example, about social issues. But more and more of them are pissed off about this war. And billions of dollars going to Ukrainian warlords and Zelensky. It's very easy to break through to them about this. Maybe then you can break through to them about some other issues. But this is just about excluding a majority of people, not just in the United States, but across the global South, who do not agree about these issues either. I don't think the people waging the peasant rebellion in Peru against the illegal overthrow of Pedro Castillo will agree with Code Pink staff on all the issues, nor would the people I met in the rubble in the Gaza Strip, who had their homes destroyed by the Israeli apartheid military. And they don't care if it's some woke grad student with blue hair who's helping them get out from under the boot of empire, or if it's a camo-clad gun-toting Trumper. They just want the bombs to stop falling. And that's what we are trying to do. And let me make another point about organizing, because I went against my community to try to educate Americans about the real apartheid Israel they didn't know. And I've spent years of my life doing it, reporting from the field, writing books, doing documentaries, whatever I can do. And I've organized with Palestinians who are extremely conservative Muslims. I've spoken at the American Muslims for Palestine conference 4 times. They practice gender segregation at that conference, okay? Women have to go into a separate entrance for men. Many of the younger women don't like it, but the constituents, that is their culture, and they actually support that. And I, as a speaker, am not gonna say, well, you're separating men and women, so I'm not gonna organize with you, even though you have a national coalition and fighting apartheid Israel, because the most important thing for me is to struggle against Zionism. It's for Palestinian women, however they want to live culturally, to be able to at least travel outside of their walled-in ghetto, to not have a walled-in ghetto, to not be refugees. And it's the same thing here. Do you think the people under the bombs of NATO in the Donbass, who have been being killed and massacred for 8 years, care if everyone is pro-trans at this rally? It's crazy. By the way, I don't agree with Jackson Hinkle on a lot of social issues. He knows that. I'll say it to his face, but
I don't agree with Ron Paul on a lot of stuff either. Yeah. I don't agree with Chris Hedges on COVID. It doesn't matter what you agree with people on other shit.
Yeah, I'll say it to their face, but Chris Hedges is still my friend.
Chris is still a hero to me.
Yeah, I mean, he was in many ways a mentor to me. And so we can disagree about many things.
And I can still learn from people I disagree with.
Well, this to me is the cause of our time. And, you know, I believe that many more people will sign on to this rally from the left who are overlooking this. But Chris Hedges, I spoke to him on the phone the other day about this rally. And the first thing he said to me was, after 9/11, the only people who were doing anything against the Afghan war were the Avakian people from the Revolutionary Communist Party. Like, I don't care if they're Maoists. Like, I'm not a Maoist, but they were out there doing something and they were giving me a platform to rail against this war. You're right on. I've spoken on their radio shows. I think Bob Avakian's like kind of like a, seems like a cult leader to me, but I don't care. You want me on your show, I'll come on. But the professional sectarian left, they actually officially boycotted me because I opposed the mass firing of workers for not taking a experimental gene therapy injection, which has been proven dangerous to women of childbearing age, has been banned for young people across Scandinavia and Western Europe, and does not prevent transmission or infection. But there's no debate allowed. There's no discussion. It was like, with that, I was immediately castigated by these people. And so they are the problem. They are the problem. We need a mass movement. We're in the heart of the empire. We're in the imperial core, and we can't do it alone.
There's supposed to be, you know, we're supposed to have values. Right. And so, and what do you have values for? Not for when tough, when it's easy to follow them. You have to have values because it's going to be hard and you're going to have to stick by those values. John Stewart said one time, I'll never forget. He said, if you don't follow your values when it's hard, then they're not values. They're just hobbies.
Yeah.
And so the value of free speech and bodily autonomy has to be a value. And people will reveal that they didn't really have that value, that they could give that value up just by being lied by a propaganda machine funded by billions of dollars by Bill Gates and Big Pharma. And so it was nuts what happened. Turns out we were right. Of course, the Supreme Court in New York overturns that ban on they let 70,000 healthcare workers be fired. Yeah. In the middle of what they called a deadly pandemic, and no one gave a shit about it. Nobody cared about those people who were treating COVID patients just, you know, weeks earlier without a vaccine. And now it's just it revealed a lot of people, and so it made strange bedfellows. It really did. I would not think that the people who vote Democrat would be cozying up to the security state and the censors. And, you know, what somebody said, hey, can you point to a time in history when the people doing the censoring turned out to be the good guys? No, you're the bad guys. Anybody doing the censoring is always the bad guys. But can you ever point to a problem that censorship ever fixed? No, there's never. So it's nuts to see what has happened, and it's nuts to see the dividing lines now politically, and it's nuts that people think that it's a legitimate reason not to go to a anti-war rally because you disagree with the politics of the other people speaking there. That's just reveals you to be a child like thinking, and it's not how organizing works.
Yeah. Yeah. And